Scott Berguin of KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We have on the phone Sarah Rich, who is the mother of Suzanne Swift, young woman, military woman, who has been arrested recently for being AWOL and refusing to go back to Iraq. And we don't know exactly where she is right now, but presumably on her way to Fort Lewis in custody of military police. Well, hello, Sarah.
Hi, Scott.
How are you holding up? This has to be an incredible just last couple days, but I know this has been going on for a few weeks, hasn't it?
You know, it has been going on for a while, but I tell you what, this is nothing like it was when she was in Iraq. You know, at least we can do something to help her and be active instead of sitting on our hands and twiddling our thumbs knowing she was being harassed and treated terribly when she was in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Now at least we can do something to help her.
So this is obviously a story that has a lot of depth. It's not, it's bad enough, the situation in Iraq, and that she had to spend at least a year there. Is that correct?
She was there for a year, yes.
Okay, but she's also suffered from what's happening to, of course, many soldiers that have to spend time there, but also, as you mentioned, sexual harassment along the way. And now there's other things that have been going on with her, you might say, lied to and mistreated by the military since day one, it sounds like.
Since day one, mm-hmm. before when the military recruiters were, you know, courting her and wooing her and bringing her into the Army fold, she was told that if she signed up for the special deal of 5 years as a military police officer, she would not be deployed to Iraq, and that she could travel in other places, and she would make money for college, and things like that. She was told all kinds of things, and then she signed on the dotted line, and I don't know if she read the fine print that said, mm-hmm. That the Army can change anything on this, in this agreement at any time.
Uh-huh.
And now she is property of the U.S. Army, is what I was told.
Well, it sounds like they broke that part of the agreement really early. She went to Iraq right after basic training, is that right?
Within a month.
And an excellent article, I thought, in the Register Guard that came out today,
mm-hmm.
that covers the story. There's, it sounds like even, one, went as a military police person, right?
She was a military police officer.
But like many who go there, they end up in combat roles. Is that correct?
She drove the Humvee for her unit doing combat patrol.
Okay. And can you say more about her experience while in Iraq? It sounds like you had some regular contact with her.
I did have regular contact through instant messages and chats, mm-hmm. and on the phone. Usually the computer more than the telephone.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time it was stressed, scared, and depressed.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard for her to be there. It was hard for her to see the children in the streets that didn't have anybody caring for them. It was hard for her to see the dead people on the side of the streets rotting.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for her to be fired, shot at. It was hard for her to see her friends being dismembered and killed.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was hard for her.
Right. And
she ended many a phone call and many an instant message by, oh, there's gunfire, I gotta go.
Right. So, and again, I mean, that's horrifying enough, but it apparently, on top of that, she was not being as supportive as from especially the commanding officers in her own unit. She was being harassed by several
of them. There are a few sergeants in particular that were really horrible to her and would pressure her to have sex with them and would punish her if she wouldn't. Basically, she was damned if she would and she was damned if she didn't. I think I can count on one hand the soldiers that did not proposition her or harass her while she was there. And she was in a camp of 500 people, and they had people, different troops and units moving in and out of their camp for supplies and rest and showers and things like that. So it was definitely not friendly, and she was harassed daily.
It's unimaginable to me. I don't know. We've heard these stories, and apparently is not not uncommon of women in the military who, for example, the stories about the women are afraid to go to the latrine.
Right, to die.
Right.
Of dehydration.
Right.
That is a very real thing for women in the military in a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
In any kind of combat.
Were there other women in her unit?
There were two other women that I remember.
Okay. Is your daughter familiar with or aware of this, what's his name? I'm not going to be able to think of his name. The first lieutenant from Fort Lewis that just came out.
Watata?
Yes.
Yes, she was.
Okay.
She hadn't issued a statement before she was taken in, but she heard about him and she put her eyebrows up and went, wow. She didn't know what he was going to say because he hadn't issued a statement before she was taken into custody. But when I read it to her, she was like, "Wow, he has a lot of guts."
So what is it do you think that finally, I believe your words were, broke your daughter in terms of what made her decide to just not
her?
Go?
Yeah. I think the thought of being trapped in a foreign country, in a war zone, with people treating her like she's not human for another, any amount of time, was just too much for her.
Yeah.
You know, the time got closer, you know, she just got more and more scared, and finally she broke.
Right, well, let's hope that breaking is a process of, begins a process of healing for her.
I totally agree. And that's what we've been doing for the last 6 months, is, you know, going to her psychologist every week, really trying to nurture her and take care of her and make sure that she's okay. You know, she was, you know, our intention was for her to go back and turn herself in the right way and with the proper legal counsel.
Mm-hmm. So had you gotten any warning that the Eugene police were going to be coming to pick her up?
No warnings at all.
Right. Was that so? That must have been quite shocking, actually.
It was very shocking.
Uh-huh. Were you home with her when that happened?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was there. It was 10:30 at night, and I was in my bed, and I was almost asleep, and I heard the door knock, and I got up, and I was in my pajamas, and I opened the door, and there was an APT officer in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that raises other issues, I guess. local police being used in the service of the military. So as far as you know, your daughter is on the way or is already at Fort Lewis?
That's my belief, yeah.
Okay, and what are you and she doing right now in terms of what you want is for her to be released from the military, honorably discharged, right?
Yes, so that she can have the medical benefits to take care of her mental health, because this is going to affect her long term. And I think that we need to be doing that for our military so they're not committing suicide and they're not ending up mentally ill, homeless on the street.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need to take care of our soldiers.
And you have retained a lawyer.
I have.
Okay, and I, someone from Bellingham who is from National Lawyers Guild and is...
Yes, Larry Hildes.
Okay, and is obviously has other clients and is an expert in this field.
Yeah, he's great.
What you'd like people like myself and anybody listening to do in support of Suzanne right now?
If you want to write letters or email Senator Pat Murray in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
She's been very supportive. Peter DeFazio, Congressman DeFazio, Senator Wyden have all been very supportive, so emailing them and showing support for Suzanne so that she can be discharged for the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And pressure Senator Smith to get on board and be helpful. We haven't heard a single thing from his office.
Okay. I wasn't at the vigil last night, but I was there at the county jail this morning as we were waiting for her to be, for the van or whatever, however she's going to be transported. And I know that I was on emotional edge just from, you know, the whole situation and knowing it, and I think also thinking on the way over there about my own two daughters who are in their 20s, and I mean, you could see it in the whole group, not only the emotion, I think the concern and probably fear, worry for Suzanne, but also, of course, the frustration and anger from this whole war situation.
Yeah.
My understanding is that you have been active, at least opposed to the war from the beginning.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've talked to actually several parents who are in this same situation, and the Military Family Speak Out and Gold Star.
I'm part of Military Family Speak Out.
Okay, that makes sense. Gold Star Families for Peace, those folks who, you know, there's this kind of contradiction. They're against the war, but they have a young person who is decides to go into the military. And
exactly.
How did that feel to you when you, that process? I mean, obviously it's not just one feeling, but...
What feels me?
When your daughter came out of high school, because she basically joined right out of high school, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
Astonishing that she would come from an educated peace activist home and decide to go into the military.
Do you have an idea what was she seeking in the military? Do you know?
I think she was seeking some. An education, travel, something different. She felt like she was in a rut, I think.
Uh-huh.
And instead of really saying, what can we do, Mom? How can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I would do anything for my kids. She decided to listen to the recruiters who were calling the house and join the military.
And has she shared any thoughts on, I know this is, people don't like to speak for their kids, the folks I'm talking about, you know, but
she wants to be a counter-military recruiter.
She wants to be
she believes that they are, she wants to do the work that I'm doing, letting people know what really goes on when you sign on the dotted line and get into the military. You know, I'm not anti-military. I really believe that if we use the military as peacekeepers instead of world police,
mm-hmm.
That we could be more effective. I don't believe in war, and I don't believe in killing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in being peaceful,
right.
and solving conflict with words, not guns. And I think that the military has got some, you know, from the top down is not healthy, and they need to find a different way of representing our country.
What are your concerns about your daughter Suzanne right now and the situation she's in right now?
Right now, I'm hoping that her physical health is okay, and I'm hoping that she. I'm really concerned that they're treating her horribly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned that they're cutting her down and treating her the way they treated her when she was in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that they are using everything that I have done and said for her against her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that they're interrogating her. I don't know, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to use Gestapo tactics or what they're going to do, but I'm sad and concerned.
Is your lawyer able to give you any sense of what kind of contact you're going to be able to have with her?
No, not yet. He hasn't.
Okay, so we don't know what the military regulations are in terms of contact. Wow. I think obviously there's a lot of us whose thoughts and heart goes out to both you and Suzanne and... people will do whatever they can. Let's hope we have some good opportunities to help her out and get her out of this situation as soon as possible.
Thank you. And if I know that some people want to, I hate asking for money, but if they want to donate money mm-hmm. or, you know, contribute to her legal defense or her medical costs,
mm-hmm.
They can get a hold of the CALC office.
Okay.
And they will know what to do.
Okay. I will, I'll do an add-on to this interview with more of the details on where people can contact and stuff like that.
Great.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share with people? Again, knowing that this is potentially going to be heard from people across the country.
Just to keep the faith, I really have a lot of hope in our country and in our world, and I know that Suzanne is a courageous, courageous, strong young woman, and that this is all happening for a reason. This is really happening for a reason, and I just have complete faith that this is all going to go well, and we're going to change the way the military is treating our young women and the mental health of our soldiers that are being deployed, you know, three or four times in a, you know, the number of couple years
mm-hmm.
to war zones.
Okay, well, obviously this is one more situation that's bringing attention, hopefully a large amount of focus on the conditions that our young people are serving under in the military and in Iraq and Afghanistan, you name it. And not to mention, I believe it's the Military Families Speak Out who say, bring them home and take care of them when they get home. And that's what this is about.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
And thank you, Scott.
The best to you and your family. And please let us know either directly or through others what we can do if other things come up, situation changes, whatever.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
I was talking to Sarah Rich, who's the mother of U.S. Army Specialist Suzanne Swift of Eugene, who was arrested late Sunday evening for refusing to deploy to Iraq for a second time, and who is now presumably at Fort Lewis under guard, and we're waiting to see what will happen with that. And I want to give you some contact information if you are willing to spend a little bit of time in support of Suzanne Swift. Those contact information is that Sarah mentioned CALC, which is Community Alliance of Lane County here in Eugene, Oregon. And you can call them at 541-485-1755. And that information is also, it's a good number to call if you're in the Eugene area or anywhere and want information on your situation, perhaps, if you're in the military, or information on recruiting, counter-recruiting in the military. I'll also give some contact information for some of the senators and congresspeople that Sarah asked that folks contact. The person that she said we need to pressure is Senator Gordon Smith of Oregon. His phone number is 541-465-6750. That's his local office here in Oregon. Or call also for support Ron Wyden, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, at 541-431-0229. And Congressman Peter DeFazio, also of Oregon, his number, 541-465-6732. Also, Sarah mentioned that Senator Patty Murray of Washington has been very supportive, and she asked that folks contact Senator Patty Murray and encourage her to continue to support, and thank her, of course, for the support up to this time. Her phone number is 253-572-3636. This is Scott Berguin of KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon.